No, it's Father's Day. How many fathers do we have? Okay. Well, we have 24 roses up here, so do the math. What is it? 4 times 8? No, 3 times 8. Anyway, so we'll pick them up afterwards, because like I said, when we did Mother's Day, if we give them to you now, you get water all over you. Then by the end of the service and the hot air rises, you know, they wilt and kind of look like they're dead. So we'll pick them up afterwards and, you know, get a paper towel or something, and we'll, you know, keep you a little bit drier that way. But it's Father's Day. And one of the commandments in right off the bat in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. So we're to honor our fathers and mothers. Now, the problem is sometimes our fathers aren't too great. Sometimes they're really great. They have times when they're maybe flexing back and forth. But the thing is, you still honor them because they are your parent, they are your father, and you still honor them for the position that they are in. Okay? And so, in looking at that, I want to look at the scriptures a little bit about fathers and some of the things that are written in the scriptures about them. Okay? Fathers, the term father can be used for an individual. Okay, so we can say Glade is a father, okay, because he has sons and daughters, okay, and John's a father, and different people who raise your hands, you're fathers. You are a father because you have children. But sometimes people are identified in other ways as a father of a group. Now, I got the scriptures kind of out of order, so I'm going to just go through them because I'll get messed up and, you know, get lost. But in Genesis 4:20, it said Adah gave birth to, he was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. So he's the father of a group of people. So it's not just talking, it's talking about ancestry. You know, John Shield has sons and daughters. Some of them are married and they have children. And so you could say he's the father of this group of people, okay? Because he's the literal, they apply it to the grandfathers and descendants, because sometimes in Scripture they say your forefathers, okay? And they do a lot of stuff like that. They'll do genealogies. In the first part of Matthew, it gives Jesus' genealogy, and it goes back. And the interesting thing about that, they'll say, Jacob, your father. And they'll just say, your father. Well, Jacob was like 10 generations back. But it says, Jacob, your father. So father can also be farther back than just the immediate person, okay? And also, sometimes people are identified in different ways. Paul identified himself as a father in Christianity. When he wrote to Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he said, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Father also is a symbol of responsibility. How many of you have people that are more like fathers than your real father in your life? Yeah. See, you can have just because somebody is part of the process that brings you into existence, doesn't mean they always act like a father. And sometimes people are more like a father than your real father, if that makes sense. My dad loved me. I know he did. But my dad was not good with children. He didn't have patience. And I remember my oldest brother talking at my dad's funeral. And he said, Dad taught me how to catch. And I learned how. More out of self-defense. It was catch the ball or get hit with it. My dad didn't have a whole lot of patience. And so, you know, in that light, you know, there are people that taught me some of those things that Dad didn't, because he didn't have the patience. My mother taught me how to fish and how to hunt and how to shoot, because Dad didn't have patience with us. Now, when we got older, then it was fine. But he didn't have patience when we were little. So he didn't teach us that way. Okay, but Scripture also tells us that fathers, whether they be individual or group, have responsibilities, okay? In Psalms 103:13, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So fathers have what? Compassion. in Proverbs 8:1-8. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Listen to your father's instructions. Okay? As the Lord, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So it says, you know, listen to them. They're going to give you sound advice. When I was little, they did what they called mosquito abatement. And they had these jeeps and things that would go around, and they had this machine in the back, and it would put out this big old fog of DDT in the air, which was a poison, to kill mosquitoes, because they were trying to control the mosquito population. Well, according to them, quote unquote, DDT is harmless. And so they sprayed it all over the place. Well, you know what? It was great fun to ride your bike in the fog. And my dad would get after us so bad. And one day he whooped me. And I was like, why is he so ticked off? Well, later I realized that he was mad at me because, one, I was riding in the poison. And two, when I'm riding in the poison on the fog on the street, cars coming the other way don't know I'm in there. And so it was like, oh, but at the time I thought, he's just being a jerk. But he wasn't. He was, you know, he was looking out for my well-being. Okay? Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son. If you're doing something wrong and your parent, or somebody who actually loves you, does not correct you, do they really care that much about you? Dad got mad at me for riding in the DDT because he cared. Okay? Did I get the rod? Better believe it. Okay? But he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Careful to. There is a difference. Now, sometimes we get the wrong impression when we hear the word rod. Okay? We look at it as more like a club. Okay? In China, they call it caning. But what it's talking about is discipline in a reasonable fashion. Okay? Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children or they will become discouraged. So there's a warning in there too, because it can be overdone. So there's a responsibility that goes with being a father, if you're the father of a group or an individual. Okay, so there's that responsible. So Scripture lays that out clearly. There is a responsibility. But being in charge of a group has a big responsibility. In Genesis 17:5-6, it says, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. So here's Abraham. Now he's the father of many nations, not just an individual. I will make you very fruitful and will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Who's one of the kings that came through Abraham? David? Jesus? Okay. Romans 4:11. And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So God considered Abraham righteous before circumcision even took place, before he did anything to be considered righteous, because he trusted God, okay? The order in order that righteousness might be credited to him. So he got the credit for being righteous before he did anything, because God didn't want it to be about works. It's never about works. And so here's Abraham. He's the father of many nations. And in Romans 4:16, it says, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be granted unto all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Because he acted in faith, and we act in faith, and we respond in faith. In that realm of the faith, Abraham is the father of us all. Which means what? We are entitled to the blessings of our father. Because back then, and especially back then, it was a big deal. Okay? John Shields is my father. John Shields is a millionaire. He wishes. And so do I. Okay? But in that light, if I'm John's son, I'm entitled to part of the inheritance that John has left. And the firstborn son got the biggest share of the inheritance. Okay, so there's blessings that go along with that also. So the father has responsibilities. Father can be anybody, leader of a group. Paul claimed himself to be the father of the Christian people in Corinth. Okay, but let's look at God the Father. Okay, because we're looking at fathers, Father's Day, right? So we'll look at God the Father. And Jeremiah 31:19, it says, "They will come weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water and on level paths where they will not stumble." Okay? I'll lead them by streams of water. They'll have what they need. They'll come on paths where they won't stumble. Remember the song which says, "I'll make path." John says, "I'm making the pathway straight and I'm making it clear." John was taking away the stumbling blocks that was going to lead to Jesus' coming as the Messiah. So that was his calling, to get rid of stumbling blocks. So God's saying, I'm going to make it so there's not any stumbling blocks, because I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my firstborn. I am Israel's father. In Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. God's called the glorious Father. That's pretty nice. That we may know him better. Galatians 1:3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. Okay? Now, I put a little thing there. It says, the richness and beauty of the biblical concept of being a father lies in that of being the source of another. John is a source of Matthew. And there. John is the source of those people. Okay? So fathers are the source. Abraham was the source of many nations. But who's the source of us all? God. God. The Father imparts and communicated himself to others. Okay? So he passes it on. He communicates and goes on with them. Okay? Now, let's look at that a little closer. In Genesis 1:26 and 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. Now, again, let's emphasize right there. Man is a species. Birds are a species. If you're a male bird or a female bird, you're still a bird. If you're a female man or a male man, you're still a man. Part of the man-male species, okay? So when you read the word mankind, that's everybody, inclusive, okay? Okay, let me see, where did I get lost at? Female created he them. God blessed them, man, and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the flesh of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God created everything and was in charge. And then God gave it to Adam and Eve and said, "Here, you take control of it. You take care of it." How many of you have gardens? You have to take care of them? Hey, yeah, they don't just take care of themselves. In the Garden of Eden, there weren't weeds, I don't think. Because it says later on that there would come thistles and other things like that. But he still had to take care of it. Adam got to name everything, by the way. What's the significance of that? When you name something back then, it was yours. It belonged to you. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. One of the blessings of being the child of someone is you get to know that someone. You get to know that someone. Pam, do you know Polly?
Yes.
How well?
Really good.
Really well. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you get to know them in a more intimate way. Does that happen in our lives? Yes. How do we get to know God? This is one way. We read all the things about God, God's attributes, God's abilities, God's talents, God's blessings, everything that God's done for us. We get to read about it. We get to communicate with God through prayer. It's called talk. Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
Doing very well. How are you?
Good. How's your weekend?
So far, so good.
Good. Singing going well?
Yeah, it's going quite well. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there much difference between talking and praying?
No.
Hopefully not. But the problem is a lot of times I do all the talking. Hi, Michael. How you doing? Well, you know what? It's really good to see you here. That's a nice shirt. Where'd you get it? Oh, you know what? Nice haircut, by the way. Don't we do that?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where they don't listen to you?
Yes.
And they ask you a question, and before you can finish it, they're on to something else?
Yep.
Or they answer it for you? They answer it for you? These two. They've talked about this before because they've done talks. And one of the problems they have is?
She finishes my sentences.
Karina finishes Kay's sentences. Now, how can she do that?
Because she knows me very well.
Because she knows me very well. They've been together. How many years have you been together?
14.
13 or 14 years? Yeah, you get to know somebody in that time. Now, Pam says she knows Polly very well. Could you answer? Could you finish some of her sentences?
Let's try.
You know, I mean, but you can when you really get to know somebody that way. But see, because you don't sit down beside God and visibly be able to see God right here, because God's not right there. By the way, God's in here in the Holy Spirit. But God's in here because you can't physically see. Sometimes it's really easy to get lopsided on the conversation. But we get to know who God is. And in Psalms 91, Moses said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Not just one, all. Now, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, but God's still around taking care of things. Okay? In Exodus 3:15, God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent you me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. God said, this is how you remember me, from generation to generation. Exodus 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. This is in the Old Testament. We are God's workmanship created. Oh, excuse me, this is Ephesians, not Exodus. The workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're to do good works, which God our Father created for us to do. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, but God isn't the Father just because he has a Son in Jesus Christ. God is the bringer forth of everything. The creator of everything. So he's the father of everything. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You're not born of perishable.
Thank you, Lord.
Ah, but what? Kay's going to drop dead one day.
It's okay.
It's okay. Kay doesn't drop dead. Her body does. Her body does. And I can tell you, as you get older, the body starts creaking. You ever been in an old house where it creaks and groans? Yeah, my house is getting there. It creaks and groans more than it used to. Okay, but one of these days, it's going to evict me. But that's okay. Because that's not me. That's just my house. And we dwell in it. Okay? So it's important that we don't forget who we are and whose we are. Okay? So 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glorious goodness. He called us by His goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by the devil. Wait a minute. That you may participate in the divine nature of God. Now, none of you have ever seen my father. But as I get older, I look more like him. When we were younger, none of us looked alike. As we get older, we all start looking more and more like our parents. How many of you look like your parents? Kay's raising Karina's hand. Yeah? You look more and more. How many of you have personalities kind of like your parents? Yeah, is that good? Never mind, don't answer that. Some of you are sitting by them, okay? But you know, we inherit part of our father's nature. And God's nature is good. And it's righteous, and it's in here. And we inherit that from our parents. We inherit physical things from our parents here and now. Because we are the children of God, we inherit. Remember God said, let's create him in our image? Okay? So we get that divine nature. In 1 John 3, 1 through 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. The world doesn't know God. So the world doesn't know us. Okay? Dear friend, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. When we get that spirit inside, we want to be pure like God is. And then in 1 John 4:13 through 16, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. We know that he lives in us because he's given us his spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. When you become a believer, you get the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you respond is up to you. What you do with it is up to you. I can give you a gift, a birthday present, a Father's Day present, Christmas present, whatever. I can give you a gift, but it's up to you what you do with it. We have spiritual gifts that we receive. It's up to you what you do with it. Now, if you believe the gift is valuable, you're going to use it. Or try to hoard it. But if you don't think the gift is worth anything, you might throw it away. But it won't go away. You just don't realize you still have it, but you're not doing anything with it. But you sit it on a shelf and you ignore it. And you might as well not have it. But that doesn't mean you haven't been given it. Amen. That doesn't mean you don't have it. Okay? And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. God doesn't just live in you. You live in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. God doesn't love us. God is love. God is righteous. God is all those things we lack. Okay? But God is love. Jesus did not come to change God's mind about us. God already loved us, had it all laid out before the creation of the world, knew before one thing was created how we were going to mess up, knew how stubborn the people of Israel would be and say, give us some rules we can live by. Up until Moses, they had the Deuteronomy, but that took place even after Moses. Up until that point, there weren't all the rules and regulations. It was like, just enjoy me. Now, is that a different concept? Just enjoy me. When you get up in the morning and you're driving to work and you look at the mountains and the sun's coming up and the clouds are there and they're pink and brilliant blue sky, and you go, wow. But this morning you're driving in and there's gray clouds and there's white clouds and there's rain over here, and it's wow. Or Scott talks about being in the building downtown that's like 25 stories or something like that, looking out over the valley and seeing the rain falling over here and the blue sky over here. And how it's, wow. Or just go outside. It rained. Look how sparkly the pavement is. And it's wow. It's wow. And if you go look at my driveway, it's all cracked. But there's plants coming up through the cracks. And they have little flowers on them. You go out 5300 South, there's the landfill. Piles of garbage. But where they're not turning it up, guess what? There's plants with flowers growing on them. And it's wow. It's wow. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God. That's all required of us. Just live in love. Yeah, somebody's being a jerk, but love them. And that's really hard. It's really hard. I work in the medical field. When we get people in and they don't want to take care of themselves and they don't want to help themselves get better, I just want to smack them or ignore them. We had a lady come into the emergency room one time, sick. She wouldn't let us draw blood. She wouldn't let us do this. I came in to do a test on her, and she wouldn't let me do it. I said, what the hell are you doing here? Fix me. We can't. We don't know what's wrong with you. You won't let us find out. So why don't you go home? Yeah, that's not a good response. I'm human. But you know what? If we live in love, we live in God, and God lives in us. Is it always easy? No. You know, I mean, people can rock my boat and tip over my wagon pretty easy sometimes. But we have to realize that just because something somebody says doesn't need to put us into the ditch. And too often we get in that ditch and we stay there. Years ago, the Alaskan Highway went up through Canada to Alaska. And when my friend moved up there, she said she got to the start of the Alaskan Highway, which is a dirt road. And there was a great big sign. And it said, "Choose your rut well. You will be in it for the next 200 miles. We do that. We let people knock us in the ditch. And we get used to being there. But we can't forget that. So on the back, I put a little list here of scriptures. And it says, remember God is your Father. And, oh, I forgot one word there. In God you are. You ready to fill in some blanks? Okay, Genesis 1:26. You are human. Which means what? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. You're going to get your feelings hurt. All those wonderful things that go along with being human. But you know what? God created you to be just who you are. Ephesians 2:10. You are God's masterpiece. That's what it says right in the beginning of it. You are God's masterpiece. Genesis 3:7. You are imperfect. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are righteous. What? I just said you were imperfect. And now I'm saying you're righteous? Don't get a fat head. You are righteous through Jesus Christ. Okay? But you are because God loves. And God made you righteous. Deuteronomy 7:6. You are chosen. You were chosen before, God chose you before the creation of the world. Galatians 5:1. You are free. John 3:16. You are, wild guess on this one, John 3:16. You are loved. God so loved the world. 1 Samuel 2:8 and 9. You are a saint. Oh, that's a little bit hard to swallow, isn't it? Saint Summer.
Not a good saint right now.
Yeah. But aren't believers called saints? Hmm? Matthew 5:13 and 14. You are extraordinary. Scripture says you're extraordinarily built and put together. 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are indispensable. What? But I'm a garbage collector. Oh, honey, thank you for picking up the garbage.
Amen.
I don't have to take it out to 5300 South every week. You're indispensable. But beyond that worldly job, God has a plan and a purpose for you to do what you're doing. To do what you're doing. And you know what? You may not think it's a whole lot, but it is. Jay comes and cleans in here every week. And you know what? He can use some help because he doesn't like bathrooms. Okay? And kitchen sinks. I hate them. I come in, there's a pile of dirty dishes. But we're indispensable. Not in that realm, but in the spiritual realm also. Because that's the way God works. Jesus had the 12 and the 70, and he sent them out into the world. And when he left, he said, you're going to go to Judea, Jerusalem, and out to the ends of the earth. Yeah. Romans 8:15-17. You are a child of God with all the blessings that go with it. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a priest. 5:5. 1 John 5:5. You're an overcomer. God has given us the Spirit that we overcome. And there's one more thing to remember. That's a couple of three stories I want to tell you. Once upon a time, there was a girl who lived in a household. She had a stepmother and some stepsisters. And she was not appreciated at all. And she was given all the dirty work to do. All the ugly things to do. And one day, the prince was throwing a ball. And mom and the stepsisters got all dolled up and went off. And they left her all by herself. How many of you know the story? Yeah. Along comes the little fairy godmother and helps her get dressed for the ball. And she goes to the ball and she makes a big splash with the prince. But loses track of time. And in a panic, heads off for home and leaves a shoe behind. But the prince has fallen in love with her. And he does a nationwide search, and he finally finds her. And the shoe fits. And they live happily ever after. And there's another story about a prince who falls under a curse and he gets turned into a frog. And this kind of a snotty little prince, who comes along and finds the frog. She's kind of rude, but the frog can talk. And over a period of time, she comes to love the frog. And what happens? One day she gives the frog a kiss, and the frog becomes a beautiful prince, and they live happily ever after. Or there was the story of the girl who was so pretty, and her stepsister and wicked stepmother don't like it. And when the stepmother says to the mirror, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all?" The mirror doesn't respond with her name. So she's mad. She hires a woodman to take her out in the woods and kill her. But he doesn't. He ditches her out there with 7 little guys. So the wicked mother goes out and gives her a poison apple that makes her fall asleep. She falls asleep until the prince comes along and falls in love with her and kisses her, and they live happily ever after. How many of you have lost your shoe? Don't recognize. There's another story about a duck who's sitting on his eggs, her eggs. And they all hatch out, and there's one that's a little bit different. And she badmouths this duck, saying how ugly it is. And she lets the other little ducklings do the same thing, and they just belittle this other duck to the point where it's just distraught. Can't take it anymore, so it goes off by itself, basically to die. And in that journey, runs into 3 really beautiful swans. And just admires them. And then decides to take a chance to go over and talk to these beautiful swans, knowing that they'll probably get mad and kill him. And he goes over, and they come over, and they surround him, and they brush him with their heads. And he goes to bow to him, and when he does, he sees his reflection in the pond and goes, "Wow, I'm one of them." Now, you know what? We fall into those traps. We let other people push us down. We let other people establish who we think we are. And we become Cinderella and Snow White and that prince or the ugly duckling. Where? In here. We fall for it. We become that in here. But God, our Father, doesn't let us stay there. Our earthly fathers may. But God, our Father, is that Prince Charming who's out there with that slipper trying to convince us to put it on and see that it fits. Or to let him kiss us so that we become the prince or the princess. Or recognize that we are not the ugly duckling. God's our Father, quote unquote, and loves us and cares about us and is all of that. So I encourage you, take these home. Don't just go by the word that's written down. Look them up. Read them. See how the word fits into the sentence. And understand how much God cares. You have a glorious inheritance because God is your Father. And what did God say? Let us make man in our image. So you inherit. Do you have the ability to love? Yeah. Yep. You do. Use it. Enjoy it. Because it's Father's Day. We just need to remember that. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that you are love. We thank you that you're Prince Charming and the beautiful princess all in one. We're glad that you're a mirror that reflects back who we are. And God, help us to take away the smoke from the mirror to see ourselves clearly in light of who you created us to be and who we are in you. A great creation, a masterpiece, a righteousness through Jesus Christ. Your children, with an inheritance beyond belief. And God, you have given us gifts. Open our eyes to see them. Use them for your glory, not our own. And to recognize your beauty in this world all around us. And to rejoice in you, in the little things. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.